This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. This is episode number 124. I'm your host, Nate. This is my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And in this episode, we're going to be continuing on with our Mark Wahlberg month with 2003's The Italian Job, directed by F. Gary Gray, starring a bunch of cool people that we'll talk about when we review the movie. But first things first, you guys know the drill. We got to let you know how much money this movie made, and we got to let you know what the critics and the audiences thought of it as far as the critical reception. So, Alex, please, I'm pretty sure this was a pretty good hit, but I have literally no idea how much this movie made back in 2003. So please share.
All right. So here we go. The Italian Job from 2003. Domestic, $106 million. International, $69 million. Worldwide total of $176 million on a budget of $60
million. Okay.
Domestic opening of $19 million.
Well, that's solid. You know, if you go by the classic metrics of if your movie makes $100 million, it's a pretty good hit. This was a pretty good hit. This is what you would call a solid double. You know, if you're a baseball guy, it's a solid double to the wall. Not a home run, good solid double. Yeah, I'm not surprised. I'm surprised the international was so low, though, because it's called The Italian Job. You know, a lot of times, like, those overseas people, whenever you have movies that happen in Europe or anything, they always go out to see it. So that's a little underwhelming. But either way, okay. It's a little underwhelming. But either way, let's go ahead. Let's go to some critics and audience scores. So this one is pretty good, especially compared to the last few movies we've done with the Transformers and stuff. Critic score, 73%. Audience score, 80. So once again, audiences like an action adjacent film more than the critics, but the critics like this movie. It's a 73%.
Yeah, I mean, when we do the review, we'll know why. But again, people got to realize that this was a remake to The Italian Job with Michael Caine, right?
Yeah,
Michael Caine was the original Italian Job. So I'm very surprised that the critics was very high on this, because normally they would be like, oh, this is a 30 or 20 and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But you know
what? It doesn't hold up to the original at all.
Yeah, Michael Caine was a 10 times better actor and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I agree. But let's get to the actual meat and potatoes and see.
Meat and potatoes. We're going to take those numbers. We're going to throw them into the old potato sack. We're going to get some fresh potatoes out. And we're going to tell you here on the Rotten Potatoes how we score it. So, of course, I'm hosting. So, Alex gets to go first. Now, Alex, Mark Wahlberg is essentially the lead, but this is really an ensemble movie. So, yeah. I guess we'll score him, but also just kind of talk about the cast in general.
All right. So, I gave it a 5. And the reason I gave him a 5 was he was really good in this movie. He played Charlie. I had it right. Yeah, he played Charlie, and he is like the planner. He plans all the it's weird because in the beginning of the movie, Donald Sullivan was the leader of the group. He went to prison, and then now all of a sudden, Mark Wahlberg stepped up and he planned the first Italian job, the heist, and he did a great job. And he's like the planner. Jason Statham is the driver. Mos Def is the deaf bomber. He does the bombing explosion. Seth Green is the hacker. And then Charlize Theron later on becomes her dad. And she's the one that could crack into safes. So that's the whole team ensemble. First of all, the cast is amazing in this movie. They are 5 on its own. Charlize Theron is so gorgeous in this movie. I'll tell you right now, gorgeous, amazing actress. We always talk about her here in the movie, Action Movie Guys. Great actress. Jason Statham again. He is back on it in our show again.
You can't get rid of him.
You can't get rid of this guy. Stallone and him are it's the Expendables of
Action Movie Guys. Yeah, the Expendables podcast. Yeah, pretty much.
He's here. Seth Green is actually really good. Mos Def, very underrated actor. He's a really good actor. I think he's a really good actor. I don't know what other people think. But again, in terms of Mark Wahlberg, he was really good. They all had great chemistry. It worked. They blended very well. And then, of course, which we'll talk about in the main villain, another great actor, but I'm not going to say his name once we get to the villain. But in terms of Mark Wahlberg, he was charming, very planny guy, very, you know, I mean, he's like an everyday's man, but he's just a thief. I mean, the guy is a thief. And I thought he worked very well. I gave it a 5.
You know what? This movie got a great cast. Amazing. Amazing. Amazing cast. I was waiting to see if you were going to drink that before I delivered the line. Cast is great. You know what? I agree with you about Mos Def. And the funny thing is, as far as rappers who are actors, he's maybe the best one. You know, like he's up there. Because it started Cube off too. As Ice Cube's great, but Ice Cube is not as versatile. He can only play like angry black guy, pretty much. Like that's his niche. He could be funny, but that's his role. You never see Ice Cube as like just like a nice regular guy or like Mos Def is more versatile.
That I agree with you, but I mean he did Barbershop. That wasn't like that was a more family friendly.
Yeah. I guess
that was
still
the only one.
He's good. Yeah, that's the only one. Don't get me wrong. I love Ice Cube. Ice Cube, but I think Mos Def is more versatile, can do more things, and he's just as funny. And I love him. I love him as a rapper and as an actor. So I'm with you there. And then, of course, his name is Left Ear. They all have funny nicknames. He's Left Ear because he's deaf in his right ear. It's hilarious. I love when Seth Green wants to be called Napster the whole time. And then they're like, well, you call him Handsome Rob. And he's like, well, that's because he is Handsome Rob. Like, we don't just call him that. He just is. Like, Jason Statham is Handsome Rob. I love it. I called him Handsome Rob for like the next... After I saw this, that's how I kept calling him. Like, when he was in Transport, I was like, oh, this is a Handsome Rob is in this movie. And I love it. He's great. And he's not, there's just enough of him. You know what I mean? Like he's just enough. And I love Statham. He can lead a movie, but they use him right. Yeah. Wahlberg, Theron. I mean, Charlize Theron. I mean, you know, poems can be written.
Charlize Theron. She could be a part.
Yeah, she's something else, honestly. And I love her in this movie. I think she's a great actress. She's won an Oscar, but she's really good. She's very endearing, you know, like she doesn't want to help them, but then she's like, I got to avenge my dad, you know, this whole thing. And then we get to Mark Wahlberg. I'm going to disagree with you slightly, but I'm going to end up... Oh, by the way, 5. I ended up scoring the team because this is an ensemble. He's the weakest link of the team, in my opinion. He, just his performance is like, he's great. Like, he's not great. He's very, very good. He does the role exactly how it should be. He's the right amount of charming. You know, I mean, Mark Wahlberg is a great looking guy. Good looking guy. I love that they didn't lean in heavy with like a romance with him and Charlize. Like there's little like things here and there, but it's not like, that's not the point of the movie, which I appreciated. It was very good. But he's the planner of the group. He's like the son of Donald Sutherland, pretty much, that he didn't really have. You know, he's like the favorite. He doesn't like, he's not super dynamic in the role either. He's just kind of there. He's sturdy. He's very good. If I was just scoring him, probably a 4, but I feel like he's elevated by everyone around him. And I do buy him as the leader of the group. You know what I mean? Like he seems like the type of person they'd all respond to the way they do throughout the movie, which I think that's a win for. So overall, yeah, I give it a 5, a great ensemble. Fantastic. Okay, main villain, Edward Norton, of course.
Oh, 5. look, again, I said it during our last episode, when a good guy turns bad, you hook Big Papa Al. That's exactly what happened. Again, I knew what happened anyway because I seen this movie, so it's not like it's new. But again, the way he does is such a dirtbag move that I loved it. He shot Donald Sullivan in the freaking chest in front of everybody. No one could have did nothing. And I was like, man, this is crazy. But again, that's what happens in heist movies. Someone's going to be greedy and the last job is going to do something stupid. And he did. And what made it even worse to put the dagger in their hearts is that he stole everybody's things that they wanted to do with the money. He brought it.
That's the worst.
The Aston Martin vacuum. He brought the stupid stereo system, the big screen TV. The house came from like Spain because that's what Mos Def wanted, brick by brick. So like that's even dirtball move. And he was just a weasel, like a scumbag. And he played him very well. And again, I say it to this day, I will say it. Ed Norton was the best Hulk in the MCU. Everyone can say whatever they want. Mark Ruffalo, I think he, if you would have put him with that cast, it would have been a 360 degree Avengers because he knows his Marvel. And I think that's the reason why that movie was so successful. I know a lot of people hated it, whatever, but I think it was one of the best Hulk movies on screen. But that's a different story.
Best
different
Hulk thing. Movie on but, yeah, I agree. No, as a Hulk fan, it's the best.
Yeah, it's the best one. But with that said, with his finesse and everything, man, it is a 5. Even when he's eating food and he said, I shot your father in the face. That was such a dirtball. And you ain't gonna do nothing. And I loved it. A 5.
Yeah, when we look back over the 123 previous episodes, I can honestly say we've had some good villains. But we haven't, there's a lot of movies we haven't watched yet that have like the great villains. I don't give out 5s very often for villain because honestly, it's like we just haven't seen him that much, in my opinion. But that changes right now because I agree. I think he's great. And he's like, he's, you know what he reminds me of? If he was like a wrestler, he's just like a heat magnet. He's not threatening. He's not scary. No one's going to be like, this guy's going to beat Mark Wahlberg in a fight. He's not even going to beat Handsome Rob in a fight. He's probably not even going to beat the deaf guy in a fight. But gosh darn it, if he doesn't just make you hate him. The true villain in this movie is his mustache, first of all. I absolutely hate his little skinny pencil mustache that he has the whole movie. Oh, he knew. Edward Norton knows what he's doing. He's like, I'm going to grow this mustache. I'm going to look like so annoying. And it worked. It really worked. When he's hitting on Charlize Theron, when she's just trying to, I mean, she's not really trying to fix the cable, but he doesn't know that. And he's like hitting on her. I'm like, oh, what a slime. He's just so slimy. But the reason he gets a 5, and normally slimy guys, I'll just give a 4, right? Because it's like, but he literally murdered the guy right in front of everybody. He stole all, he did have a plan that worked. He executed a plan that got him all this gold. He pretty much until the end, and it looked, he was by himself pretty much. He probably had some underlings, but they had like this team of, and look how hard it was for them to even get his stuff. The helicopter scenes are great at the end. He was in it. He was willing. Was he tough? No. But he murdered that dude at the pawn shop. Like, he's not just a guy who just is in charge of people. He kind of just, you know, he does his thing, and he's such a weasel. But he's such a great actor. When you get a great actor to play a villain, period, it usually turns out pretty well. And I agree with you about the Hulk thing. I would have died to have seen him in the rest of the movies. And I like Mark Ruffalo, but yeah. Edward Norton is, I think he's one of the best actors. I know he's like got a reputation for being like hard to work with and controlling, but hey, he's good at what he does. So I loved him. I gave him a 5 as well. Okay. Now action.
There's no way. I mean, there's no way to go below 5. I mean, this is a 5. This is a straight thievery of a 5. This is a 5, man. First of all, the beginning action, right? Straight boat. I love boat scenes. Like every time we watch the 007 movies and we see boats, something about boats, it has to work because boats are boring.
Yeah,
but it has to flow. This one worked because it was like a double package. It was, they were being the decoy, and then they were stealing the money. I mean, the gold in the water. So I was like, that's a double awesomeness. So I was like, that's pretty cool. The adrenaline is up. Then you got the bridge scene when he shot Donald Sullivan in the face, right? And then they went right over into that cold water and survived. I was like, oh, this is good. Then they started to plan because it's not much action in this movie. If you really think about it, you have the beginning. Then they start to plot how they're going to get to this guy. But then, once they get the Mini Coopers in, that's when the action sequences start to kick up. And that's where it gets good. The driving scenes in this movie is phenomenal. Let me just tell you. It is amazing. I think it was very well done. I love that whole sequence. I think all the driving... I love driving scenes in movies. I think they're so great. This one wasn't as long, but this one was actually really good. They got to where they needed to go. It was very fun, them jumping on the train tracks and doing all that stuff. And I was like, wow, this is cool. The ending was really good. But again, it's not a typical action movie in a sense of gunfighting and everything. This is a thief action movie where...
Heist film.
Yeah, it's a heist film. It's more of a, how do I say, it's more of an Ocean 11 with cars and stuff without them stealing a casino, if you know what I mean. Like in Ocean's 11, they're just stealing a casino, not much action there. But in this one, it's Ocean 11 on wheels.
Right. Yeah,
that's pretty much true. What it is.
And I loved it.
Yeah. And I wouldn't think it worked. It's a 5. It was a very well thought out car chase scene in the beginning. You got me hooked. 5.
Okay. So I'm a little lower than you, but I actually don't disagree with any of your points. I gave it a 4, and I feel like I was generous because there is not a lot of action. So I don't want people to get the wrong idea. If you've never seen this movie, it's mostly talking. Now, good talking, and we're going to get to story, but it's not a traditional action film. And I think that's why I called it action adjacent earlier, because it is like, there's moments of action. You're right. At the beginning, I love the boat chase. And I don't know why, but yeah, you're right. Every time I see a boat chase now, I just think of The World Is Not Enough. Every single time. I'm sick of it. I can't help it. I'm like, hey, this boat's pretty good. But remember, The World Is Not Enough? That was really good. It's like, gosh darn it. I can't not think of it because of this stupid podcast. It's not stupid. It's great. Make sure you download it. But you know what I mean? This stupid podcast got me thinking The World Is Not Enough. Every time I see a boat in the water. But that being said, well executed. F. Gary Gray does a good job with all the action. He's one of those directors who's like solid. He's really solid. I don't think he's amazing, but he shoots everything competently. Everything looks good. Nothing is like shaky ever camera. Like I love the chase scene at the end with the Mini Coopers. I love the helicopter's low. Like the helicopter almost hits some cars a few times.
Yeah.
Very well executed. Very well staged. I agree. The driving scenes are really good. The reason I give it a 4, and honestly, I could have gave it a 3 just from lack, but because the final like 20 minutes or so is essentially like an action scene and it's very well done and very well made, I'm going to give it a 4. I think it's fun. And the end result is not quite, like you said, it's not traditional in a lot of ways. It doesn't quite end how you think it's going to end, you know, as far as with all the characters and everything. So it does and doesn't, if that makes any sense. But yeah, a lot of fun. I give it a 4.
Well, I would like to say though, but the reason why I gave it a 5, I don't want people to be like, oh, because it was great. It's not about that. I gave it a 5 because it was a great quality of the action.
Yeah,
I understand how low it was. The
execution was great.
Yeah, I could have gave it a 4. Which I was going with it, but I'm like, wait, if we really think about it, this was two set pieces that really hooked you into the movie where the father got killed. And then at the end, when they're getting revenge to steal the gold, everything was planned out. I mean, even with the explosions in the street, the thing drops. I was like, yo, this thing was like planned out very well. The quality was not cheapy Netflix looking crap that we get now. And it wasn't CGI. Yeah, it was straight up practical. So that's the reason why I gave it a 5. I think it was a perfectly executed and the quality of the actions was shot very well. So for me on that point.
No arguments. Yeah. You got it. I agree with you. All right, storyline.
4.5. Okay. I didn't go with the perfect on this one because it's a storyline that's pretty much done. Now, I never seen the original Italian Job. So I really don't know what the storyline is for that. I don't know if it's the same as this. I don't know what the hell it is. But I'm just grading this movie. Mm-hmm. I gave it a 4.5 because the storyline is very well thought out. I thought it was very well good. I love the chemistry between all the characters. The villain, because the villain was part of that team. And it got greedy and left the team. And took away their money. I thought that was all generic. It's a generic storyline, but very well executed. And I was like, you know what? You got to give it the praise for what it is. And I thought it was very well done. Again, like I said, it's a generic storyline. If you really look at it in a thief story, it's just like Ocean's 11. You know what I mean? They're stealing. Actually, it's more Ocean's 12. That's no, 13. That's the one with Al Pacino when he takes the casino away from the guy and then they went back and they take...
Garcia.
Yeah, and no. What's the guy with the big Sal? I think it's Sal. Remember Sal and Al Pacino? They purchased the casino.
Oh, yeah.
And then he takes away, he tells him to fork over everything and he screws him over. And Danny Ocean's like, you better, give him his half. He's like, no. And then they seek revenge. This movie reminded me of Ocean's 13, of that type of storyline, but more on wheels. I think the storyline worked very well. Charlize Theron is the hidden gem in this movie because her performance is what elevated the storyline because they were using her, like her emotions of like, she could strangle the crap out of this guy, but she didn't. And I love that date scene and her going into his house and it worked so much well. I think the elements, the cast, everything worked so good. And I had to give it a 4.5 because it was perfectly executed from the story wise. I thought it worked very well.
Yeah. So this is funny because we're going to flip flop a little here. Mm. I gave it a 5. I agree with everything you said. It is for me. Yes. As far as heist movies go, this doesn't reinvent the wheel at all, but it is, the script is really good. The dialogue's really good. When I'm looking at like a good story, I'm like, if there was no action, would I be having a great time? Absolutely. This movie could have had no action in it. It could have had zero action scenes, and I would have loved it as much as I do. I love the characters. When you have really well-written, developed characters, that all counts towards the story for me. So, yeah, I think you said it all very well. I'm just going to give it the 5, but I don't really have much to add to it. I thought it was great. I love the camaraderie. I love the planning. I love the whole heist. I love heist plans, and I love training montages where they're driving the car to test it out, like if they can hold the weight. I love all that crap. I'm a sucker for it, so 5 out of 5 for me. And it's funny. That's the thing. Like, this is a really fun. I laugh a lot of times every single time I watch this movie.
Yeah.
And it's at these like little lines. Like, just say one little thing and it's like really funny to me. So humor always adds. I love it. Okay. Overall.
Overall, 4.5. I'm going to give it a 4.5. It's not a perfect movie because I just deducted the half point. Because it's not an original storyline. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it is fun. I recommend this to everybody to pick this damn thing up. Again, I'm still shocked to this day that we did not get a 4K disc on this damn movie. But digitally on Amazon Prime, if you guys want to, they have the 4K version on Amazon Prime. Nowhere else. I saw it on HBO Max. It's available now. But the quality, I put it on the Patreon chat room. It is 4K looking. It looks stunning.
They have a 4K digital. That means a transfer exists.
Yes.
They have done restoration on it or something.
Could be an anniversary release.
I want it. Yeah. Paramount, right? This is a Paramount. Is it a Paramount film?
Yes, Paramount Pictures.
Oh, they might do it. Paramount does 4K. So,
yeah, so
they might do it.
Could be in the future, but I give it a 4.5. It's still amazing. Still holds up till today.
This is one of those movies that has elements that I gave 5 to, but I agree with you. I have a 4.5 for my total score. It's a 9 out of, I always think, of course, in 10. 9 out of 10. It's not perfect, you know, but it's not even that it's not perfect. It might be perfect for what it is, but it's not so elevated that it's worth a 10 to me, if that makes sense, right? Like, it's a good, very, very good heist movie, but it's not a game changer. It doesn't do any. If this did something new or something crazy, probably would have been a 10. Like, keep it the same, same cast, same, but like did some kind of crazy twist on it. This thing's a 10. As it is, you know what's going to happen. You know who's going to win. You know who's going to lose. The fun in it is getting there. That's the fun. And watching this group of people do it. So, yeah, even, you know, I was remembering, too, the scene where Seth Green's in the car with Jason Statham and he goes talk to Becky and he's doing like the impression of like what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
All those little things, like, this is just a movie that's great to throw on and just watch it. It's not too long. It's under 2 hours. You're going to be entertained. It looks nice. A lot of great locations. You got LA. You got Venice. They're over, Venice in the with the water and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, it's great to look at. It's fun. I don't really have any major problems with it. So I give it a 4.5 out of 5 as well. I think it is fan. I've loved it ever since I first saw it. And I saw this back in 2013 when I was only a teenager. So this movie is great. I've always loved it. What's your total points?
24. Flat 24.
We're close. I have 23 and a half. So, 23 and a half out of 25. I'm glad we did this instead of Pain and Gain, to be honest with you, because that would have got an action one. And the rest of it.
I kind of knew that movie was just straight comedy. I didn't remember action that much on it.
Yeah. It's just a dark comedy.
Yeah.
This is a better mix and it's a better movie. This movie's better. Yeah. So, yeah, I love the Italian Job. I was watching this with my cousin earlier today and I was just like, I wish this got a sequel. Like, even now.
I was just going to ask you that.
Yeah. So look, if you think about it, because I was telling her, I was like, look, let's think about this for a moment. Mark Wahlberg is still a big star. He's a star. You know, like, he's a lead. You could put him as a lead actor. Charlize Theron is probably bigger now than she was then and still is amazing. Jason Statham is way bigger now than he was then. Not that he's A-list, but he leads his own movies now. And he was just like a sidekick in this. Mos Def ain't doing nothing. So he's available, I'm sure. You know what I mean? Like, he's not busy. And Seth Green, not busy. I mean, I know Seth Green does stuff, but he's not like in a bunch of movies anymore. They're all still relevant enough. And Edward Norton, too. If they brought him back as like some villain way.
He escapes.
Yeah. Either he escapes or he mentors the next villain or something like that. Right. Or he gets out of jail and he has to help them.
He's not in jail. Remember, the guy Russians took him.
But let's say they put him in like a Russian jail. They put him in the gulags or something. You know what I mean? You know, and let's say he escapes and he has to help them with the next job. Anything. There's so many things they could do, but all this cast is still so viable to do a new movie that even if they're just old, look at Donald Sutherland in this movie was like old as dirt and he was in the heist. Yeah. So they're all younger than he was. So let's get Italian Job 2. We'll call it the French job or something. I don't care. They go somewhere else. Yeah, it's another country. The German job. I'm in. Tickets sold. I would love to see a sequel to it, to be honest. F. Gary Gray, same director, everything. I'd watch it, definitely.
I'll definitely watch. If they would have did a sequel, I would, hands down.
But do you think it's too late?
In 20 years. Ages? Yeah. I think it would be. Unless they're mentoring their kids or something.
Remember, though, they're not going to do a ton of action. All they do is driving, really. So,
well, you know what? Ocean 13, they were old and it still worked. I like all of them, but yeah.
No, I agree. You're telling me what I want to hear. They're old. They don't have to do hardcore action. Nope. All they're doing is planning heists and driving. Old people. If Donald Sutherland could do a job, they could do a job now.
I agree with you. You know what? You know what? Ocean's 11, the original, had Sammy Davis Jr. with his glass eye. Yeah. So you could really. Yeah.
You could only have one eye.
Yeah, he had one eye. He did a job. So come on.
And this is not the type of movie. You know, like sometimes they say, well, the sequel took too long. Nah. This was a one-off movie. Yeah. It could work. Why not?
I think so.
Bring the band back together. Let's get the Italian Job 2 going. Okay. With that being said, I love this movie. I'm glad we were able to watch it. I always will love watching it. Next week, we got a Mark Wahlberg double feature. We got Transformers, Age of Extinction, which will be us. We will be extinct by the time it's over because it's so long. We will be watching that for the Transformers movie. And sure. For our last and final Mark Wahlberg month, Mark Wahlberg movie, because we got one more after that in February. We got Four Brothers, as voted on by you. Have you ever seen Four Brothers? Good, another one with a nice cast. We got Mark Wahlberg, Tyrese, Andre 3000, Garrett Hedlund, Sofia Vergara before she was famous. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing your thoughts. I haven't watched it in years, so I don't remember everything. Nice little revenge kind of thriller movie.
Well, the next week is double movies I've never seen. So I've never seen
double first time.
Yeah.
This is exciting. I love a good double first time watch. And then just to give you guys a little preview of February, okay, we got, after we finish Transformers, we begin our journey into the Superman films. We are going to be watching all movies with Superman in the title. So Justice League's not included, but it's all the four Christopher Reeves movies. Superman Returns, Man of Steel, and Batman vs. Superman, I believe. It's a total of seven or eight, something like that. So we're going to dive into some. We don't do a lot of comic book movies here. Nope. I think we've spared you guys because everyone does comic book movies. You know what I mean?
They do, yeah.
But at some point, we got to touch them a little bit. So we're going to be doing some Superman. And then, of course, February, Black History Month. Like last month, we are going to be doing African American leads. We got some more Denzel coming. We got some Denzel. And then I don't remember the third movie, but I do know we got a really horrible comic book movie. We're going Halle Berry's Catwoman that month. So that's going to be probably bad, but we're going to honor. We're going to honor Halle. We're going to honor Halle. Yeah. What if we haven't watched it in so long that now it's good? What if it transcended? I don't know. You know what? I don't even think I've seen the whole movie. I think once she plays basketball, I turn it off every time. So
it cannot be worse.
It can't be worse than
Transformers 2. Well, maybe. We never know.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
So anyway, just wanted to give you guys a little preview so you can be excited for what's coming.
There you have it, guys. If you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to www.youtube.com/levelsofgeeks for the video versions of the podcast. You guys want to take us on the go? Go to iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, anywhere you listen to your podcast platform, any of the platforms you listen to your podcast on. We are Action Movie Guys. Just search for there, subscribe, download, have fun, leave some ratings there. And of course, you want to follow us on our social media account, Levels of Geeks on Twitter. Other than that, that's your host,
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.